the morning show on the Ideas Network. John Munson in for Carrie Coffman today. At the U.S. Open this weekend, Serena Williams faced off against 20-year-old Naomi Osaka of Japan and, stunningly, lost. Leading up to her defeat, a series of violations and accusations of sexism forcing the tennis world to revisit questions of gender standards and inconsistent enforcement of rules. We talked to a sports writer about that in this portion of the morning show. Wondering what you think. Did you watch the U.S. Open? What was your opinion on what happened between Serena Williams and the chair umpire during her match with Naomi Osaka? Do you think there is a double standard for male and female tennis players, and why or why not? And what about sports in general? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is the email. Or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. My guest is Ava Wallace, reporter for The Washington Post, covering college sports, the WNBA, and tennis. Ava Wallace, welcome to the morning show.
Thank you for having me.
At the U.S. Open over the weekend, Serena Williams was penalized several times during a game that she ultimately lost. It was the first time a Japanese player has won a Grand Slam singles title, but what happened bordered on pandemonium for tennis, which is usually a pretty restrained sport, John McEnroe aside. Can you explain what happened for us from beginning to end there?
Sure thing. So the kind of hubbub started in the second set after Naomi Osaka had taken the first set off of Serena Williams, which does not happen often, especially it doesn't happen often in a Grand Slam final. But in the first set early, or in the second set early on, Serena Williams is called for, given a warning, a coaching violation, because her coach, Patrick Mouratoglou, is seen by the ref, the chair umpire, Carlos Ramos, for giving her signals on court. And in the replay, we all see, it's kind of hard. I was sitting courtside. You couldn't actually see it. He's kind of sitting across the side from the across the court from the press. But he was telling her to, using his hands and motioning to move up to net, telling her to go up to net. She said she wasn't looking at the time. We see her stop after Carlos Ramos says, hey, this is your warning for a coaching violation. She goes to him. She says, hey, we don't have coaching signals. I wasn't receiving coaching. I don't look to my box. That's not how I play. I don't cheat to win. I would rather lose than cheat to win. That's the first thing. Then the second code violation she receives is for racket abuse in kind of the middle of the second set after Naomi Osaka breaks her serve. She's still in the lead at 3-2, but she breaks her racket. She's frustrated. This 20-year-old is outplaying her and handling the moment really well. And he gives her a coaching violation and takes a point from Serena Williams. That's when she gets kind of upset with the chair umpire there, because she thought that after she had that conversation with him about the coaching violation that they were cool, things were all settled. So she thinks she shouldn't be having this point taken away from her, and he says, sorry, no, that's still stood as a warning. Then when she starts kind of going off, she gets very irate. That's when she calls him a thief. That's kind of the word that's been definitely focused in on in the reporting in the past couple of days. That's when he docks her a game and puts Naomi Osaka a game away from the championship.
So how surprising was this series of events, especially given that it was a Grand Slam final?
Yeah, it was really shocking. I Serena Williams has a couple of incidents in her past at the U.S. Open in particular, where we've seen some really stunning things on court. But I've never seen this in a Grand Slam final. All of those incidents I'm referring to, I think people may remember when, you know, she threatened a line judge at the U.S. Open, and or she was received. She actually received an apology from the USTA in 2004 for such poor line calling on one of her matches. But those were all in the quarterfinals and the semifinals. This is a Grand Slam final. To see Serena Williams get so emotional and you know, really let the chair umpire have at it in a Grand Slam final was stunning. And to add to that, I think the atmosphere was so tense. There were so many people in Arthur Ashe Stadium. It's a 24,000 seat stadium, and most everybody was there to support, to spur Serena on. She was going for her 24th Grand Slam title. That would be a record, an all-time record-tying title, tying Margaret Court's record that she set in 1973. So people were there to see history. Everyone, you know, was on her side. And when this started happening, the crowd started booing. And Arthur Ashe Stadium is kind of built like a coliseum. So the court, you're at the very bottom, obviously, and everyone's just kind of up around you in this bowl. So when they start booing, you can really hear it. And the atmosphere just grew so uncomfortable. And when she's defending herself to the chair umpire, it was loud. It was harsh language. It was stuff that you just don't necessarily always see in tennis. So it was really kind of stunning what was going on.
Let's go back just a moment. The first warning that Williams got was for a coaching violation. Why is being coached by your coach during a match against the rules? And how widely is this rule actually enforced?
Yeah, so that's kind of the question. It's against the rules just because on-court coaching, you're supposed to be out there by yourself in tennis, pretty much. The WTA and its tour events does allow on-court coaching, but a Grand Slam final is obviously different, and you're not allowed to do it in a Grand Slam. And you have to, even in WTA tour events, there's special times, you know, you call for it during the changeover and things like that. It's not like someone can just from the box yell out suggestions or directions or anything like that. That said, it happens all the time that someone looks at their coach, they get a thumbs up after they do something correctly, you know, telling them, yes, keep doing that, do it again. It's little things like that, just natural things. When you're a coach there watching your player play and they look up at you, you're going to say something back. It happens all the time, and it is really inconsistently enforced. That's the thing about chair umpiring, is you go by the book, but there's still a lot of discretion. We saw it earlier in the U.S. Open. There was a moment when a chair umpire, Mohamed Layani, actually gets down from his chair and goes over to a male tennis player, Nick Kyrgios, and who looks like he's about to retire from the match and give up and doesn't want to play. And he says, come on, you're better than this. So it's clear that chair umpires have discretion to use. And, you know, sometimes they say, hey, I see your coach giving you signals, tell him to knock it off, or I'm going to give you a warning, something like that. There's a lot of leeway there.
In reaction to all of this, Serena Williams said that male athletes behave in worse ways but aren't penalized for it, that she was punished because of her gender. Do you think there's some truth in that?
So I definitely understand where she's coming from. It's not, you know, as a reporter, obviously, it's not my job to kind of take sides, but Carlos Ramos, the chair umpire, was going by the books. He has the coaching violation. That's a warning. Racket abuse, that's another. That's a point. And then the third coaching violation, you take a game. That's absolutely by the rule book. If you're umpiring in a vacuum there, that's what you should do. But Serena Williams, throughout her career, her, you know, 2-decades-long career, has spent a lot of time defending her integrity and, you know, starting with the way that she looks. It's her body is really strong, and it was something that when she came on the scene in the late 90s, no one had ever seen in tennis before. So there's a lot of things that happen to her when she wins. People then say, you're too strong to win. You must be doping, or you must be doing this, whatever. You're not normal. She spent a lot of her career defending her integrity and defending the way she looks and the way she acts and sounds on court. So I can absolutely understand why her mind would go there. You know, she understood the coaching warning to be someone questioning her integrity, her saying, calling her a cheater, saying that she needs coaching to win. So, you know, especially when you think of the example, you mentioned John McEnroe up top, where, you know, he was known for his tantrums, and the same thing with Jimmy Connors and James Blake and Andy Roddick, two former top American players, came out afterward on Twitter and said, I've said way worse and never been warned on a tennis court. So I can see why her mind went there. Absolutely.
So her calling the chair umpire a thief was probably tamer than what a lot of her male counterparts would have said.
I've heard worse on a tennis court for sure. You know, there was no profanity or anything. The issue there, of course, is that in the rule book, that's technically, I guess, could be interpreted as questioning a chair umpire's integrity. And that is where the verbal abuse call came into play.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Serena Williams wore an outfit with tight-fitting leggings during the French Open a few months ago. It was banned after the fact, even though she was wearing it in part to prevent post-childbirth blood clots. Do female tennis players have to wear skirts? Is that an actual rule, or is it just sort of one of these unwritten rules in tennis?
No, it's not an actual rule. Actually, someone, I think probably one of the first top players that we saw wear shorts regularly is Victoria Azarenka, and not a lot of players do it nowadays still. You see a lot of players practicing in shorts. I would say that's probably what they normally practice in. it is not a hard and fast rule, but Grand Slams, of course, can enforce dress codes when they want to. We see it at Wimbledon. That's the easiest example. We've got the all-white dress code. So the French Tennis Federation president said, you know, you have to respect the game, you have to respect the time and place, kind of implying that the full pant cat suit that she was wearing, as it's come to being called, was not respecting the French Open and the time and the place. Female players do not have to wear skirts. That's not in the rule books.
We're talking with Ava Wallace, reporter for the Washington Post, covering college sports, the WNBA, and, of course, tennis. And tennis is what's on our minds. What happened at the U.S. Open this past weekend involving Serena Williams has opened a discussion about gender standards and inconsistent enforcement of the rules of tennis. So is just to kind of put a nail in this, is there a double standard in the sport, and how does it manifest itself?
I think there is a double standard in the sport, just because there's a double standard in society, honestly, if we're talking really broadly there. There's an expectation for how women in general and female athletes act. There's an expectation for decorum, especially in tennis, which again has deep history as a country club sport. You know, women started playing the game wearing long skirts and these long dresses and things like that, and weren't allowed in country clubs for a long time. I definitely think there's a double standard. You know, when John McEnroe made his career, at least partly off of these tantrums, he gets called a brat and celebrated a little bit. You know, it's kind of a cheeky nickname. And when we see, you know, as with any other thing, when we see women going on a tirade, they're hysterical, emotional, questioning people's integrity. That's something Serena Williams herself mentioned.
We need to go to a break, and we'll come back and continue our discussion. If you'd like to join us, 800-642-1234. What did you think about the events at the U.S. Open this past weekend? 800-642-1234. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. John Munson in for Carrie Kaufman. We will be right back. Show on the Ideas Network. John Munson in for Carrie Kaufman. We're taking a look back at the U.S. Open and what happened to the women's final, and we're interested in your reaction. Did you watch the match? And if so, what did you think of the way it was handled? 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org is the email address, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Ava Wallace is my guest. She's a reporter for the Washington Post, covering college sports, the WNBA, and, of course, tennis. We have some callers who want to join us. We'll get to them in just a moment. One of the other factors, in addition to sexism charges that were leveled, and charges is probably the really bad word to use here, is there a racial element to all of this that we should be talking about as well?
I think because Serena Williams brought it up, I think we owe it its due for sure. And that's, I think, again, goes into the things that she's experienced throughout her career, going back to Indian Wells early in her career, where her father and her sister said they were, you know, subject to racist taunts at the tournament out in California. That's kind of considered the sport's fifth major. It's just another thing that she's faced, in addition to the way her body looks, the way she acts on court. It's a real othering. And so I think that's why she kind of went to that, you know, I'm a black woman on court who's been called this angry black woman and everything like that. And just because I look different, sound different, act different, that's something she's had to defend herself against.
Let's take a phone call. Rick in Beloit is with us. Rick, hello. Good morning. Thanks for joining us on the Morning Show.
Good morning. What I'm asking is, have they looked at the way this judge has decided other matches and so forth? Is he known to be a strict judge? Nobody's bringing that issue up. Well, what's the deal with him?
Rick, thanks for the call. What about the judge, referee that was there? Does he have a history of calls like this?
Yeah, that's a really, really great point, and I'm glad it was brought up. That's why I think, you know, the accusation of sexism is a really serious one, and that's why I think it's good to talk this through before anybody kind of makes a real decision on that, because Carlos Ramos, the chair umpire, is known for being a stickler, and he's given tough calls like this on ticky-tacky stuff to guys like Rafael Nadal and Novak Djokovic, too. It's not that's why I think the accusation is really serious, because I do think Carlos Ramos has a history of these really strict things. He's not one of the refs who's going to say, hey, you say one more thing to me and I'm going to take a game from you. He's just going to let you go on and then take the game from you, as we saw on Saturday. But yeah, he is absolutely known for being a very by the book guy.
Rick, thanks for that call. Mary is next in Beloit. Mary, hello. Welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. I just wanted to expand a little bit more on the societal issue of the male versus female. And we see it in politics as well as in sports, that oftentimes when women raise their voice to a man, they revert to a little boy who's being yelled at by their mother. And as a strong woman in the workforce, I too have seen this, because I've been called the mom in several situations where I work when I say no to whatever's going on in the situation. Care to expand on that?
Mary, thanks so much for that call. Ava Wallace?
Yeah, that's what people are, that's I think when where people are latching on to this accusation of sexism. Again, one of our columnists at the Post, Sally Jenkins, phrased it as, you know, Carlos Ramos took a game from her immediately because he couldn't take being spoken sharply to by a woman. So I think a lot of people, not just Serena Williams, identified with that, where you see these male players cursing and saying, you know, don't ever talk to me again and all these things and profanity, and Serena Williams calls him a thief, and that's kind of where he draws the line. So I think it, for sure, a lot of people, a lot of women I know in particular, saw or kind of flashed to situations where they've been punished for voicing their minds. And that's how Serena Williams phrased it. She says, I want women to be able to be emotional on court and to express their ideas on court without being penalized for it, mm-hmm. without being told to, you know, be quiet, sit down, go over there.
We have another caller, Orson in Whitewater, who I think will be making a comment that echoes what Martina Navratilova wrote in an op-ed for the New York Times. Let's take Orson's call. Orson, thanks for joining us on the morning show today.
Thanks, John. Yeah, I just went through all the clips last night, as well as an excellent portrayal by Patrick McEnroe. She really brought it upon herself, though. I feel like she had the opportunity to express herself between the first warning. That's when she knows she needs to be careful. When she smacked a racket, there's no argument that that is a penalty. And then when she was arguing with the chair umpire, she just kept going and going, and then she told him to stop talking to her. And he did. And that's when a normal chair umpire might give somebody a little talk and say, hey, this is the time where you need to slow down or you're going to get a game against you, and nobody wants that here. But she told him to be quiet. And she just, and then she just kept going after she told him to be quiet. And that's when he gave her the game penalty. So I think she brought it on herself, unfortunately. But Naomi played amazing, and it wouldn't have mattered, I don't think.
Orson, thanks for the call. Ava?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the first things I meant, where, you know, you don't see something like this often in tennis. And it was really stunning to see her raise her voice like that at Carlos Ramos. And of course, she's playing in her 31st Grand Slam final of her career. She knows the rules of tennis by now, and she knows what she can and can't say to a chair umpire. There is the argument on the other side a lot of people are bringing up, when she starts going on that third tirade before she calls him a thief, the umpire does have the opportunity to say, hey, you got to cool your jets, or I'm going to do this. A lot of chair umpires would have done that. Carlos Ramos, that's not his style. I'm not sure if Serena Williams was aware of that. He does call a lot more men's matches, and she said afterwards that, you know, we don't have any history. He's a good umpire. So she lost her cool, for sure. She absolutely played a part in this on Saturday. I don't think that's something that you can deny.
Orson, thanks for the call. Todd in Green Bay, you're next. Todd, thanks for joining us on the morning show.
Good morning. Yeah, I watched the entire event as it unfolded and exploded, and yeah, Serena was absolutely 100% at fault here. There was no reason for her outburst other than her own frustration, and which she couldn't contain. And this business about going on and on about, I have a daughter and I'm trying to be a good role model. Well, I thought if her daughter were to watch her replay of this, you know, 20 years from now when her daughter's old enough to understand what's going on, her daughter would be ashamed of her mother. It was just a horrible outburst. And like you said, she's a veteran. She knows the rules. She should be able to, she's an adult. She should be able to act like one on the court and accept the consequences, the smaller consequences that she got. So to the point where she doesn't lead up to a larger consequence, and she would have lost that match anyway. She was just getting thumped.
Todd, we get it. Thank you very much for your call, Ava Wallace.
Yeah, that's obviously something that I don't think that's someone's singular opinion. That's something that a lot of people are saying. She was actually asked afterwards in a news conference, you know, how would you explain this to your daughter in 20 years when she inevitably sees the clip? And that's kind of when Serena Williams said, well, I would say to my daughter, I hope you stand up for yourself when you're presented a situation like that on the tennis court or in business, in life, whatever. And that's when she kind of said, I hope you don't back down. I hope you're allowed to express your emotions the way I was without being penalized. So, you know, Serena took that in a different direction. A lot of people were really uncomfortable with her invoking her daughter in that situation. But I think the other point is he's absolutely right. She was losing that match, and there's a reason she got so flustered. Is this 20-year-old across the court from her was doing really well and was beating her. So, you know, if she's winning that match, she probably doesn't get as frustrated. Obviously, we don't know. We can't say that for sure. But there was a surefire reason, and that's because Naomi Osaka was on her way to winning her first Grand Slam title.
We've got about 30 seconds or so left here in this hour. Do you think, Ava Wallace, that what happened with Serena Williams this weekend will bring about any changes in the sport of tennis at the Grand Slam level?
I am unsure about that just because tennis, like most sports, is very, very slow to change. We saw the USTA and the WTA, the women's tour, come out in support of Serena Williams. I think the thing here that if anything were to be changed, what would be looked at was the rule book and how inconsistently and varied the rules of tennis are enforced. And if there was one thing that they could concretely do away with, it would be looking at the rule book and looking at their chair umpires, I think.
All right, Ava Wallace, thank you so much for joining me this morning on The Morning Show. Ava Wallace is a reporter for The Washington Post, covering college sports, the WNBA, and tennis. I'm John Munson, in for Carrie Kaufman. You're listening to the Ideas Network.